Ezekiel 34. We're going to read verses 23 through 26 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Once we read, I'll pray. We'll have our special, and then I will preach to our folks that are here this morning. I don't know that you know how a preacher thinks. I'm not sure that I always understand it, and I am one. But I often preach to myself, but I really believe that the sermon for today is exactly what Grace Baptist Church needs. We're at a time of the year. We're at a time in the life of our church. We're in the time of life that I think this truth will be such a help to you. So Ezekiel 34, we're going to read verses 23 through 26. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. I'll start on verse 23. You join me on 24, and we'll alternate through that way. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. They shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them, and the places round about my hill, a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. Holy Spirit, there is no way that this sinner could help these people. I am in no better shape than they. But your word can, and you could speak through me. And I pray that you would meet the needs of each and every person here today. May they glean from the truth that you and I have gotten together recently. May I be able to present it in such a way to where the smallest child and the oldest adult would understand this, and it would help them today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. This morning, I am just excited. I'm going to start with a story. All right? Story time. But we'll come back to this passage. I call the sermon, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. I'm going to go way back into my life, way, way back. I grew up in northeastern Ohio. I grew up in Canton, Ohio. Canton and Akron area is right on the edge of what they call the lake effect weather in northeastern Ohio. The weather in that part of the country is, it can get pretty wild. There is a lot of swing in weather. It can be snowing, literally, just at any time when the rain or when the wind changes and it comes off Lake Erie, it picks it up like a magnet and just drops it right there. It's just amazing. The storms that come in off of Lake Erie are intense. You've never seen storm clouds. Around here, you see dark clouds, but they're not storm clouds. You get out in the Midwest, real flat land, and even some of the rolling hills. I'm watching some of you people that have traveled, and you're going, yeah. I mean, the clouds get almost purpley black, and you see it coming for miles, and you're thinking, oh my, this is going to be ugly. And it is. It gets intense. I'm going to confess something here. When I was a boy, I was afraid of storms. And I'm not talking about just I didn't like them. I was afraid of them. I did not like storms. I grew up, I was born in the late 60s and through the 70s. I'll tell you how bad the weather was where I was from. Every month in the schools, you had a fire drill. But every month, you also had a tornado drill. Now, how many of you have ever had a tornado drill in school? Okay, a few of you. I grew up in Tornado Alley. I have seen scores of them. I mean, they would sound a certain signal. You got up from your seat, ran out into the hallway, You got down on all fours, put your hands behind your neck, got your head up against the wall, and scooched in as tight as you could so that nothing would hit you if it was a tornado coming. And hopefully the walls didn't fall down on top of you. That was exactly the hope of what that was for. All right? We had one of those every month I was in school. It was as common as a fire drill is in this area. Now, if I said the word tornado drill here, everybody's going, what for? What's that? Never saw one in my whole life and I've lived here, yeah? But where I'm from, you see them quite frequently. Now, as a child, the black clouds, the flashes of what seemed like endless lightning were terrifying to me, especially at night. Add to that the thunder, the gusty winds, and the beating rain. And there was many a night I went to bed, pulled the covers over my head, and put the pillow on top just to try to shield myself from it like it was going to do much good. I was trying to muffle the sounds. I was trying to hide from it. I don't know how old I was. I was probably 7, 8, 20. I don't know how old it was, but my dad had had enough. It was early evening, late afternoon. It was one of those hot summer days. You know, it's 90, 95 degrees out. Got real good and hot, built up a good storm. And they were talking tornado watches and warnings. And in my town, in Perry Township there, we had a volunteer fire department. And when you heard there was an air siren to let everybody know there was a tornado warning in those days. It wasn't just on the news or on the television, and we didn't have phones back in those days that would buzz in your pocket telling you there was a weather warning. You just kind of figured it out, but man, you'd hear that air horn go off, and I would run and hide in the closet. I would run into the house, hide in my dad's closet. Say why? I don't know, but that's what I would do. My dad heard that thing go off and watched me run like a scalded dog. And I hit that closet and slammed it shut. And next thing I knew, it opened up. And I thought, he doesn't have the same tone of voice he normally does. And those of you that know my dad know what I'm talking about. He's in Florida, so I can tell this story. he said, son, we're going to get you through this. I said, what do you mean? He said, come with me. And he grabbed me by the arm and the hand, and he didn't lead me. He picked me up. I thought, uh-oh. We walked out on the front porch, and I was not happy that we were walking outside with the impending doom coming upon me. I was wiggling and writhing, and he was doing other things to keep me from wiggling and writhing. And he said, son, you're going to sit through this storm with me. Ooh, I didn't want to hear that. The wind started to blow. He said, son, do you know what wind is? I said, yeah, scary. He said, no. He said, all that hot air from today has now moved up into the atmosphere, and that storm's coming, and it's full of cold air. And as the hot air is moving, the cold air is coming through and pushing it across here. Notice the temperature change? Notice you're not sweating? I said, I am, because I'm scared. He said, but do you notice how much cooler the air is? He started to explain to me what it was. Then you heard the thunder. Couldn't see the lightning yet, but man, you could hear that thunder roll. Boy, if you've never been around one of those Lake Erie storms, you've not heard good thunder. I mean, it just rattles. I've sat there in the house and hear glasses and dishes going when the thunder would roll. I mean, it's that loud. I mean, it just shake you. I'm thinking, I'm sitting on the porch with my dad. Well, let me rephrase that. I was sitting on the porch with my dad. He's got his arms around me. He is not letting me up for anything. He said, son, do you know what that thunder is? I said, yeah, scary. He said, no. He said, when that lightning flashes, he said, it's so hot and it's so intense that it heats up the air up there. And that is almost like it's just air being heated super fast. And he said, that's what the thunder is. Okay. Man, the lightning started flashing. And I'm doing this, you know. He said, son, that lightning's good. It's not bad. He said, now, you don't want to be under a tree. And you don't want to be the highest thing out here. But he said, that's good stuff. He said, do you know what that lightning does? I said, yeah, it scares me, Dad. He said, no. Every time it flashes, it's releasing mega amounts of nitrogen. He said, after the storm, tomorrow you'll see the grass is green again. Kind of brown now, it'll be green. He said, notice the difference in the smell in the air after the storm. He said, it's got a lot of nitrogen in it. He said, the trees need it. The grass needs it. The garden needs it. He said, it'll help. He said, by the way, because of the extra nitrogen and the health that it gives to the plants, it helps clear the atmosphere and we get better oxygen from it so that you and everything else can breathe cleaner air. Okay. Not too bad for a guy who never went to college, huh? Well, then the rain started and we were getting sprayed, you know. You're sitting under the porch, but you're still getting wet. That was pretty cool because I didn't mind getting wet. You know, we didn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. I thought I did, but my dad said, no, we're going to sit here. And man, the rain started. And one of those, I guess I'm going to date myself. How many of y'all know what a gully washer is? All right. That's when the rain comes down every which way and it's coming down so hard you can't see across the street. I mean, it was just driving. And at times it was going this way. At times it was coming this way. At times it was going, say, what was that? It was just the wind blowing it every which way. And I mean, we were getting sprayed and wet. And I mean, there's water dripping off us. He's holding me tight. That was pretty cool because I didn't mind getting wet. He talked about how that it was cleaning everything, getting rainwater back down into the ground, feeding everything, building up the water table so we had water and everything else. My dad showed me how that people and animals and the plants needed the storm. It was for cleaning the earth, cleaning the air, for drinking water, for food, and for everything. I can't tell you that my fear of storms was totally gone after that. But the total sheer panic started to subside. Thereafter, each time the storms came, Dad would say, remember? Yes, sir. And he would knock it down just another peg. Now, I see storms. I say, hot diggity dog, let's enjoy this one. I didn't feel that way 40 years ago, just so you know. I have seen the benefit of the storms. Now, story time's over. Let's get to preaching. I want you to see a very, very sweet biblical truth that has helped me through all this. The Bible says, there shall be showers of blessing. Do you know that it does not rain showers when the sun shines? Do you know that you have to face the dark clouds to get rain? Now, I realize in West Virginia, every once in a while, the sun will shine while it's spitting rain a little bit, but you don't get a storm when the sun's shining. There is generally dark clouds that you have to go through to get to those showers. It doesn't rain showers in the bright sunshine. You go through those stormy moments. You go through those dark times. You go through those fearful times to get to the showers. All sunshine makes a desert. You cannot and will not receive showers of blessings in the bright bluebird sunny days. I didn't say you wouldn't get a blessing, but you're not going to get the showers of blessings in those days. Now, life is made up just much like nature. Do you know that we face storms in our life? We face dark days in our life. We face sunshiny days. We face cold days. We face rainy days. We face gloomy days. We face all the same things. May I say this? The showers of blessings come in those dark days. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. That encourages me. Moses did not get showers of blessings until he faced the 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea. No water and no food for 3.5 to 5 million people. He didn't need the showers of blessing until the storm was on the horizon. Joseph did not get showers of blessing until he faced the false accusation of Potiphar's wife and spent 7 years in jail. It wasn't until he was in those dark days that God began to shower blessings upon him. David did not have showers of blessings until he faced Goliath, till he faced his hero and king Saul chasing him to kill him. He didn't get the showers of blessing till his own son Absalom led a rebellion to take the kingdom away from him. Wasn't until then that David got his showers of blessing. Daniel had to face the storms of obeying God instead of the government and a lion's den before he got his showers of blessing. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego had to decide that they weren't going to bow to a wicked, vile totem pole, so to speak, and they were not going to listen to the government on what the government said Christianity should be. They had to face a fiery furnace before they received their showers of blessing. Listen to this. Ruth did not get showers of blessing until she faced the storm clouds, the loss of her husband, moving to a foreign country, and living in poverty. She had to face those dark storm clouds till she met a man named Boaz, who became a shower of blessing. She did not see when her husband died. She did not see when she had to move. She did not see when she lived in poverty that one day she would be, listen to this, the great-grandmother of King David. She's mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She faced those storms to get the showers of blessing. Listen to this statement. I don't know that I've ever thought this before this week. But her sister-in-law, Orpah, is never mentioned again after that because she didn't face it. She ran. Brother Lester Roloff needed to face the storms of bad health, fighting the Southern Baptist Convention and the government before he got his showers of blessing on the ministry of his life. I said this just a couple weeks ago. 32 years ago, Brother Roloff went down in a plane crash. My cousin was one of those girls on that plane with him. I knew Brother Roloff. What a great man, but boy, did he face the storms. By the way, it's one of those storms that took him down, took him to heaven. Say, were you sad? No. He was happy. He was going up. He wasn't going down. His body may have been going down, but he was going up. I can hear him now as that plane got hit with lightning. That wing got ripped off and the girls started to scream as that plane began to swirl. He'd say, girls, we're going to glory. Let's start singing. I believe they went down singing. I really do. J. Frank Norris had to face the charges of murder. He had to face the charges of his church buildings being burnt and them accusing him of setting his own building on fire for insurance money, and both of these being proven wrong in a court of law before he received his showers of blessing. Say, what was that? J. Frank Norris built the two largest churches in the world simultaneously. Back in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, without airplanes, traveled between Detroit and Dallas. Hey, there shall be showers of blessing. But he had to face the dark days. The disciples were in a boat in a storm one night. The storm was raging. Jesus said, you get in the boat, go to the other side. I'll meet you over there tomorrow. And there's a whole lot of people we got to help over there. I love this story. They get out in the middle of the lake that night, and the storm brews up, and a bunch of these tough fishermen are afraid they're going to die. It's a pretty bad storm when fishermen think they're going to die in a boat. Say, what happened? They lost their faith. Say, what do you mean they lost their faith? They saw Jesus walking on the water and said, it's a ghost. You know, Casper's out here. Help us. And they said, no, that it can't be that. And Jesus said, it's I. Be not afraid. It's okay. And they said, and Peter spouts off, if thou be the Son of God, bid me come out on the water. Notice he said, if. If. Huh. They lost their faith, but they faced the storm. Guess what? When they got on the other side, the Bible says there were multitudes of people helped. But they had to go through the storm to get there. They even lost their faith for a little while for fear, so that others could have faith. Just like my dad with me as a child, I want to help you with these storms of life. Just like in nature, life is a series of storms. By the way, we cannot and will not stop them. Do you know that if there is rain coming tonight, there's nothing that man can do to stop it? Nothing. Do you know you cannot stop the cloud from raining? You know you cannot stop the wind from blowing? And you cannot stop the storms that you'll face in your life. But may I say this? There can be showers of blessing. There can be blessing from these showers. Now listen to me very carefully. Today, I want to show you maybe one of the sweetest truths that will help you. I did not read this verse with you aloud, but in the same chapter, verse 16, the Bible says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. Whew. God said to those four groups of people, I'll give you showers of blessing. Amen. These are the people God's talking to in this chapter. And I want to show you how that as we face these four parts of our life, and I'll do it very quickly today, how that you can receive showers of blessing. Number one, God says that he'll give these showers of blessings to those who are lost. Now, that word lost doesn't just necessarily mean people who do not know for sure they're going to heaven, though that is a term used in Scripture about people who are unsure of heaven. Can I tell you something? You don't have to walk out those doors today unsure of going to heaven. You don't. I'm not saying that you need to get baptized. I'm not saying you need to join this church. I am saying you need to know for sure you're going to heaven someday when you die. Say, well, I'm trying to be a good person. Glad you're trying to be a good person, but you're not good enough to get to heaven because we're all sinners, including the guy talking to you right now. No nail prints. Proof we're all sinners, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. Not only that, Jesus came and paid the price for you. He was the only one that could live sinless and live righteous enough to go to heaven. And he shed his blood on the cross for you and me. By the way, that was the penalty God had placed on our sin. And Jesus paid that price for you. You don't have the wherewithal because of your sin to be able to pay that price. Jesus came and paid it. Guess what? You don't have to die and go to hell. Jesus paid it. All you must do is receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. God said it is a gift. You say, well, I've got to live a good life and do. No. That's something you do. Jesus paid for it all. By the way, God loved you more than he loved the angels that sinned. He did not send Jesus for the angels that sinned. He did send Jesus for you and me. That's how much he wants you to go to heaven someday. But this word lost means that, by the way, your lost situation spiritually could be a storm, but can I tell you something? If you'll face that storm called hell, Jesus has already paid the price and you can get the shower of blessing of going to heaven. This word lost here means those who fail, those who are out of strength. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be human for a moment. I'm sorry when I fail. I hate it.
See, as a preacher, when you fail, people hurt. I find myself this week often. I sit at the side of a person going to heaven, and I say, I'm going to fail because I can't help it. I can't fix it. I sit with a family who has word that a loved one is cancer and terminal. And I feel like a failure because I can't fix it. I'll be honest with you, that hurts. You have a family ask you to pray as someone suffering on their deathbed and say, Pastor, would you pray that they go quickly? Do you know how hard it is to ask God to take somebody's life? I'll be honest with you, that's hard on me. Say, why? Because I love people. I wished I could tell you, you had a perfect preacher, but you don't. I fail. I don't mean to. I really don't. Can I tell you something? We all fail. We all fail. I fail my wife. I fail my daughter. I fail my boys. I fail you. This is written to me. This is written to me. Because I fail. Can I tell you something? Even in those dark hours, we can find showers of blessing. There are people that can get saved. There are lives that can be helped and touched. People who can be sensitive to the God and get back in fellowship with God. Hey, even though you fail, God can still use it. I've said this before. I'm going to go to my grave saying this. I don't believe in any of this garbage about if somebody does something wrong in the church, they got to get up here and tell everybody all the wrong they did. That is wicked as hell. Who are you? You can't forgive it anyway. So all you want to know is all the nasty stuff of everybody else. Well, I just happened to... You don't know anything. You're not God. You don't forgive it anyway. You just want to spread it around. By the way, when it's you, you'll be glad you don't have to come up here. Well, you're just trying to cover everybody's sin. Aren't you glad it's covered by the blood? If you're saved, God already covered it by the blood, and God doesn't see it. Why do you want to see it? You're going to fail in your marriage at times. You're going to fail as a parent. Mindy, your daddy has failed you. That hurts me. That doesn't mean I'm a failure. I'm not going to stop being her daddy. Have I always treated her exactly the way she's supposed to be treated? Yeah. No, I have not. I have not. I have failed. So have you. Can I tell you something? To those of you, my friends, I'm sorry I failed you at times. I may have failed you as your pastor. And I humbly am sorry. Can I tell you something? We can find showers of blessing. Difficulties should not be what makes us give up. It's time to look for the blessing of the storm. These tough hours are not times to look at the storm itself, but the benefit that might come from it. Okay, so you argued with your wife last night. You argued with your husband last night. Let's look past the argument and find the solution to find the blessing that comes from it. Say, well, I failed my child, or I've not been what I need to be in this area. Okay, get back up, learn from it, don't do it again, and there is a blessing to be had from all this. There's a man sitting in this room right now. Won't tell you who it is. Won't even allude to it. You'll not figure it out. But some time ago, faced a dark storm at work. Matter of fact, lost his job. I remember praying with him and said, God, turn this into a great blessing. Do you know the job he had in replacement of it is 1,000 times better than the one he lost? Can I tell you something? It was a dark day, stormy day, but there shall be showers of blessing. Felt like a failure, but there shall be showers of blessing. Blessings come when you don't feel like you can go on. Keep going on. I'll be honest with you. I'm human. There's days, not sure, Brother Gus, I can keep going. But you know what? I do. I tell God I'll pick my feet up if he'll put them down. There's days my heart's broken. Not sure I can take another phone call. Not sure I can take another heartbreak. But I say, God, if it rings, I'm going to answer it. I don't know how I can do it. You'll have to do it through me, but we're going to keep on going. Can I tell you something? Face those storms because you're going to find blessings in it. You're going to find a blessing. By the way, you might not find it right away. It might take days, weeks, or months, but may I tell you, the blessing will come from the storm. Huh. Listen to this statement. If you didn't get anything, get this statement. You don't get strength to go through a storm. You get strength by going through the storm. Too many of us, oh God, I need strength to face this storm. He says, oh no, you'll get strength by going through the storm. Jeannie, your heart hurts. Bill's been in heaven for a couple months now. You didn't have the strength then that you have now, but guess what? God's given you strength in the storm. Whew. You don't get strength for the storm, you get strength by the storm. Huh. Those disciples in that boat losing their faith, listen to this, they didn't have the strength to make it through the storm. But they made it through the storm, watch this, and they got to the other side, and the Bible says multitudes were reached. Multitudes got saved. Multitudes got healed. Can I tell you something? They didn't have the strength to go through the storm, but they got the strength by going through the storm, and they were able to help a whole lot of people. You say, well, preacher, my life's been a mess. My life hasn't been like yours. I didn't grow up in Sunday school and graduate from a Christian high school and go to Bible college, and I didn't have those. I lived a wicked life. God will give you strength to reach people. Well, I've been married 25 and a half years to the same woman, plan on being married the rest of my life to her. It might end tomorrow, but that's my life, not my marriage. But may I say this? Can I tell you something? You might not have that testimony, but you know what? God can use you. God can use you. Say, well, I've done wrong. Okay, who hasn't? Who hasn't? No nail prints. I didn't resurrect. Your preacher is a sinner like you. Can I tell you something? But there can be showers of blessing. There can be showers of blessing. You say, well, I knew a preacher one time and he failed me. I've known a lot of preachers to fail because they're sinners just like you and me. That doesn't mean God changed. Everybody doing okay? There was 12 preachers that failed in that boat that night. You think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread and bubblegum. They lost their faith. They were willing to believe in ghosts versus Jesus. Okay, you failed. Get back up. Go through the storm. Get back up. Go through the storm and find the shower of blessing because of your failure. Number two, God says that he will give showers of blessings to those who are driven away. Boy, this gives me hope. Grace Baptist Church, this ought to give you hope. To those who are pushed out. To those who have been pushed away by leadership. By someone who loves them. By family. Have you ever been pushed away from anything? Folks, you don't preach like I preach and make everybody in your family happy. I don't mean this unkindly, but I have family members that have visited and they avoid Sundays and Wednesdays so they don't have to come to church. I say, does that bother you? Nope. They have to answer to God for it, not me. I'm not mad. I love them.
I might have family show up and they're not exactly like me. You know what? I don't care. I love them anyway. They're my family, but they don't understand me. Now, they call me when somebody needs a funeral done. They call me when they're in trouble, and that's okay. But I'm pretty well ostracized every other which way. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Does it hurt? Yeah, it's a storm I have to face. But you know what? There are blessings that come with it. There are. We've seen folks on my wife's side of the family saved because of those kind of storms. We've seen people saved on my side of the family and strangers saved on my side of the family because of those things. Some of you are going to be with your family this holiday season, Christmas and Thanksgiving and the New Year. Be careful. Some of them aren't going to understand you. They might say, you got that religion stuff. Well, what? Hang on. Some of them are even going to say, we don't want you to come. That's okay. We'll take you here. You're part of this family, amen? By the way, I'm going to make a statement here. Someday, you might do wrong and feel like you're not welcome back at this church. You're more welcome then than ever. Don't you ever feel like you've done something wrong and cannot come back to church. Get back to church as fast as you can. I want you to see this ugly face of yours, of mine, sorry, ugly face of mine. I was looking at Rick. I want you to see this ugly face when you go out and do something wrong and say, I couldn't go back there. I want you to be able to say, there's one place I could go. That preacher will love me. That church will love me. They may not approve of what I've done, but they'll love me and they'll help me back. And yes, we will. Yes, we will. Number three, God says that He will give showers of blessings to those who are broken. Whew. The word broken literally means shattered, in pieces, torn apart. Have you ever had part of your life just shattered? Maybe it was a previous marriage. Shattered you. You know what? God specializes in picking up the pieces and making something good out of it. He does. I'm so proud of my daughter. Last night she was talking to someone at work. And they said, just out of church and just my life's a mess. And my daughter said, well, you could be right from here on out. You could fix it from here on. Whew. She doesn't know how proud I was of her. Whew. She got it. Do you ever have an adult child break your heart? Boy, you talk about crushing your heart. Yeah, I've had it. But bless God, he had 49 on his bus route yesterday. 4 saved, 1 baptized. Ran a bus again today and had 10 more with a couple more baptisms. It took him a while to get chopping in the right direction. Look out, devil, here he comes. I knew he was going to be the next Jack Hiles or Jack the Ripper. Wasn't sure for a while which one he was going to be, but he was going to do it. And for a while, I thought it was going to be the negative one. Can I tell you something? Part of your life might be in pieces, but God can pick up those pieces and make you again. Might be a few cracks. Might be a few blemishes, but you know what? It's kind of like that favorite chair of yours. You just don't want to get rid of it. It doesn't look the best. It's got cracks and mounds and sinkholes just in the right spot. Amen? You got it just worked in there. Fellas, it's like that pair of jeans that you got that your wife has been trying to throw away for a year. And you say, no, those are my favorite pair. They fit just right. Amen? You say, yeah, but those are nasty. Yeah, but you like them because they fit just right. Right. Can I tell you something? They're not perfect, but they're okay. God says that about your life. Okay, it's broken. Let's pick up the pieces and go on. See, but it's been shattered. By the way, sometimes it's been broken by somebody else, and sometimes you broke it yourself. It doesn't matter. It's still broken, but God can still use it. Doesn't matter who broke it. God can use you. Well, I broke it myself.
God can use you just like those of you that got stepped on by somebody else. All of us are broken by sin. There shall be showers of blessings. Oh, that today they might fall. Whew. There shall be seasons refreshing. Now as on Jesus we call. And lastly, Bible says that God promises he'll shower blessings on those who are sick. This isn't talking about those of you that woke up with a snotty nose this morning and you just got a little bit of goo coming from your face. This isn't somebody who woke up this morning and, ladies, you had a hangnail and it hurt. Fellas, this isn't the guy that's got the ingrown toenail. This means pain and suffering like the travail of birth. It's kind of like a kidney stone, amen? It's one of those things that comes on and it's not going to leave anytime soon. This isn't the flu, though you men think you're going to die with the flu. I don't know about you, but when I get the flu, you know, men are sissies. Thank God. I told a lady this week, I said, you ladies are tougher than us men. She said, what do you mean? I said, how many children do you have? She said, 7. I said, you're tougher than any man. I said, because no man would have done that the second time. Never. Ain't no way a man's going to face that kind of pain ever again. If he faced it once, he's not doing it again. You women are tougher than men in a lot of ways. Let me tell you. God made you that way to help us because we're sissies when we hurt. Amen? You know, when a man gets the flu, he wants everybody serving him and he's dying. When a woman gets the flu, she's still cooking, cleaning, taking care of the kids, taking care of him and going to work. It's just the way it is. Now, wait a minute. This sickness is stuff that comes and it's not going to go. It's the family I sat this with this week and they know that someone has cancer. They'll probably not make their next birthday. It's the kind of sickness that, Brother Wiley, you're having troubles with your skin. But bless God, it's not cancer, amen? And there's hope, but it's not going to, you know, go away fast. But you know what? There's still hope. By the way, it's not contagious. You know, he doesn't have leprosy. Yet. No, he does not. He's just got some kind of snake disease. No, he's just facing a tough time with his health. But you know what? There's hope. Now, he hasn't had many days where he felt like there was hope, but there's hope. Huh. Can I tell you something? Those of you that have pain that never goes away, Miss Brenda, it's the kind of pain you go through. And you wonder if it's sometimes worth going through. It is. I gotta go to the doctor again. My dad and mom, they're at that stage of life where if they're not going to the doctor, they're coming from the doctor. And if they're not going to or from the doctor, they're going to the drugstore to get the medicine from the doctor. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My dad said they call it the golden years because it takes gold to survive. To pay for this stuff. Now, wait a minute. You say, why do you need showers of blessings when you're sick like that? Because, listen to me, sickness and long-term sickness can wear on your decision-making. I watch people make bad decisions when they're sick for a long time. It can get you out of church. And I don't care how good you are, it can affect you eventually. The stress of it will affect you. Let's be there for those that hurt. Let's love on those that hurt. I'm done. I need to be. It's not going to storm on a sunny day. It's not going to rain blessings on a bluebird day. I'll be honest with you. I wished I could tell you we're going to live in the sunshine more. I wished I could tell you we're not going to face some storms. But I'd be lying to you. We're going to face them. But can I tell you something? As we go through the storms, can we look for the blessing from the showers? Let's realize all that storminess is there to give us blessings from God. Well, I lost my job, preacher. Okay. Let's pray. Maybe God has something better for you. Well, I'm going through this problem. Okay. But maybe there's a blessing. I'm struggling with this child of mine. I'm going to choke him. There's grandkids coming if you don't. Now, I'm not a grandparent yet. Praise the Lord. But can I tell you something? That which bothers you most about that child, once you get it under control and that child matures, guess what? They can be a great blessing. Whew. There shall be showers of blessing. But it's not going to come on those bright bluebird sunny days. I hate to disappoint you. I didn't say you're not going to get blessings on those days. Jeannie, you wouldn't have found our church had it not been for a shower, a storm. Most of you would not have found our church without a storm. God wouldn't have even raised this church up without a storm. There shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. Joyce, Kevin, there's some blessings coming. You're facing the storms. Can I tell you something? Man, there's a lot of joy that comes with it. But I'm afraid. Yeah, I don't like it either. Give me 90 seconds. I was traveling with my family. We were driving to Minnesota. We were driving through Indiana. Just got done eating, and the clouds were horrendous. I knew we were in store, and I said, we got to get done and get on the road fast. I got up the road just a little ways, and man, did it hit. And I mean, it was blowing. The car's going from the wind. The rain is going this way. And I looked off out, and I could see the funnel cloud. I knew it was coming. And I had to make a decision, stop and jump out or race ahead. My kids were really scared. I hit the gas pedal a little bit, and I got ahead of that. And I looked in my rearview mirror as it really got rocking and rolling and shaking. And about a half mile behind us, I told my wife, I said, look in the rearview mirror. She looked out, and I looked out, and you could see it cross the road right past where we came from. My kid said, what was that? I said, just a bad storm. I didn't tell him. Say, why? Because I'd have had one that would have climbed out and choked me to death. Because they're as afraid of storms as I used to be. Can I tell you something? It was okay. I'll tell you what I tell people all the time. Tell one of my children that used to be afraid of storms. You don't have anything to be afraid of till I get afraid. When I get afraid, then it's time to get afraid. But until then, you don't have to be afraid. Child of God, you don't have to be afraid if God's not afraid. By the way, Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. We have nothing to fear. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There shall be showers of blessing. Who here would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure that I would go to heaven. I don't have any doubt at all. I've trusted Jesus Christ and that alone to take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I would go to heaven if I died. I'll not call you out. I'll not embarrass you. I won't make a big scene of it, but who would say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I died. Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, been facing some storms. Got some storms in my life. And all I've done is lived in fear, but I'm going to start looking for the showers of blessing. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you need to use this altar, you come. You say, use the altar? Oh, yeah. This is a good place to come and talk to God for a little while. You can talk to him there, but show him how much you mean by making a move. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, we sure would love to
have you come, take the Bible. In a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you've been saved and you've not been baptized. We can take care of that today. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and like to join our church. That's fine. We'd love to have you. But whatever the need, would you come?